And Hannah's grandfather and Poppy's father are going to read to us from God's word, first from Acts chapter 16 and then from Galatians chapter 3.
Joy to be here this morning on behalf of the family from all parts of the south of England to support Hannah in this important moment in her life. Acts chapter 16 and verse 11. We left by ship from Troas and sailed straight across to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. From there we went inland to Philippi, a city of the first district of Macedonia. It is also a Roman colony. We spent several days there. On the Sabbath we went out of the city to the riverside, where we thought there would be a place where Jews gathered for prayer. We sat down and talked to the women who gathered there. One of those who heard us was Lydia from Thyatira, who was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a woman who worshipped God, and the Lord opened her mind to pay attention to what Paul was saying. After she and the people of her house had been baptized, she invited us. "Come and stay in my house if you have decided that I am a true believer in the Lord." And she persuaded us to go.
And the second reading is from Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 26. "It is through faith that all of you are God's sons in union with Christ Jesus. You were baptized into union with Christ, and now you are clothed, so to speak, with the life of Christ himself. So there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles, between slaves and free men, between men and women. You were all one in union with Christ Jesus." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So let's pray. And with the psalmist we say, "Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous truths out of your word." In Jesus' name, amen. Paul kept the bitches in their place, whereas Jesus, the sandal-wearing hippie, clearly thought that they should have equality. Words written by Richard Herring in an issue of last year's New Statesman. The reality is very different. In an age when women had no rights and were treated as chattels rather than people, Paul wrote in one of his letters, "There is no difference between men and women. You are all one in Christ Jesus." And so, not surprisingly, many of his converts were women. Women were attracted to Paul, not because of his looks. According to one early description of him, he was a man of little stature, bald, crooked in the legs, with eyebrows joining and nose somewhat hooked. A typical Arab. They were attracted because of his message. A message which spoke of God loving men and women in equal measure. And since we're baptizing two young women this morning, I thought it would be appropriate to look at the story of Lydia, Paul's first European convert. Well, what do we know about this woman, Lydia? Well, in the first place, we know that she was a highly successful businesswoman. Now, at the best of times, that's not easy, is it? Even today, when equal opportunities have been enshrined in law, there's still all too often a glass ceiling beyond which it is difficult for women to penetrate. But in the ancient world, where equal opportunities didn't exist and where society was male-dominated, that must have taken some doing to be a successful business person. It showed that she was a woman with real strength of character. And Luke tells us, too, that Lydia was a dealer in purple cloth. In other words, she was at the upper end of the textile trade. For purple cloth in those days was something really special and really quite expensive, a little like the silk scarf that I bought Caroline last Saturday in Damascus. Only those with money could afford to buy from her. In our terms, she was one of the managing directors of one of those rather exclusive, expensive boutiques down in Baddow Road, you know, places like Zagger's or Blue Lawn. Lydia would never have had a stall in the market. It would have been beneath her. This was a lady doing very nicely for herself, thank you. And she came from a town called Thyatira. And that's got nothing to do with glands. Thyatira was an important manufacturing centre in the west of Turkey. It had long been famous for its dyes, and in particular it was famous for its purple dye, which came from the so-called madder root. I'm told that even today, in modern Turkey, this town is famous for its dye and for this particular purple, which is now marketed under the name of Turkey Red. So perhaps we're to think of Lydia as being a highly successful overseas agent of a Thyatiran manufacturer. Was Lydia married? Or was she a career-minded single woman? We don't know. No reference is made to her husband. She could have been a widow. One thing for certain, she could afford staff. Not only did she have a house of her own large enough to accommodate Paul and his friends, she probably had a number of slaves who were able to run her home and help her in the business. Though this then was the lady whom Paul met when he went a mile or so out of the city down to the river Gangites. It's important to notice that Paul went down to the river not because he wanted to cool off and have a swim, but because he wanted to pray. Or rather, he wanted to meet with a group of people who were praying. Verse 13, we read that on the Sabbath, we went out of the city to the riverside, where we thought there would be a place where Jews gathered for prayer. Why gather for prayer at a river? Because Jews baptize. Yes, Christians aren't the first to baptize. Jews baptize and engage in all sorts of ritual washings. And if you didn't have a building of your own with its own baptistry, then a river would have to do. Now, it would appear that the Jewish colony in Philippi was too small to have a building of its own. A synagogue could only be built where there were 10 or more Jewish families. So instead, some Jewish women, together with other religiously minded women, were in the habit of meeting together on the Sabbath, on the Saturday, at the river to pray. Lydia herself was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. Luke describes her as a woman who worshipped God. In other words, she worshipped the God who'd made himself known to the Jews. Like a good number of her contemporaries, she'd become dissatisfied with the pretentious teachings of the Greek philosophers. And she just couldn't believe those fantastic myths some Greeks peddled about the gods of Mount Olympus. She longed for the living God. And so she joined this small prayer meeting. And Paul and Silas, in their turn, together with Luke, I gather, joined the group. We sat down and talked to the women who'd gathered there, says Luke. We sat down. Today, preachers stand, do they not, to talk from a lectern or a pulpit. But just as our professors have chairs to sit, so too in Paul's day, Jewish teachers sat down to teach. And it was teaching that Paul was into. Yes, he joined this women's group to teach them about Jesus, about the one to whom the Jewish scriptures pointed, about Jesus, the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. And Lydia was one of those who heard him. Now, very briefly this morning, I would like to suggest that Lydia, this successful businesswoman, offers a role model, not least to young women like Hannah and Poppy. First of all, Lydia had an inquiring mind, and so too should we. She was prepared in the first place to listen to this new teaching about Jesus. I remember once talking to a 16-year-old who told me that he didn't believe in all this rubbish about Christianity. But I said to him, "Have you examined the evidence? Or have you simply made up your mind and you don't want to be confused with the facts?" When Paul arrived, Lydia didn't just walk off. She stayed to listen. You know, some people, when they come to church, allow the sermon to go in through one ear and out through the other. But not Lydia. Lydia had been searching for God. And indeed, it was her search for God which had led her to join this particular women's group. So she listened. She was open-minded. Indeed, Luke tells us that the Lord opened her mind to pay attention to what Paul was saying. She was open to discovering new truth. I think she was the kind of person who would have read a gospel, had there been gospels around in those times. She was the kind of person who would have gone along to an Alpha course, had there been Alpha courses to go along to at that time. Yes, she provides us with a model of a person who has a mind of their own, yet is prepared to be open-minded and examine the Christian faith. There was a guy called J.B. Phillips who produced a contemporary version of the New Testament. And he wrote, "Over the years, I've had hundreds of conversations with people, many of them of higher intellectual caliber than my own, who quite obviously had no idea of what Christianity is really about. I was in no case trying to catch them out. I was simply and gently trying to find out what they knew about the New Testament. And my conclusion was that they knew virtually nothing. This," he said, "I find pathetic and somewhat horrifying. It means that the most important event in human history is politely and quietly bypassed. For it's not as though the evidence had been examined and found unconvincing. It had simply never been examined." Now, I wonder whether there's anybody here this morning in that category. You've come along to this service out of politeness. You've been invited by Poppy or by Hannah, and you felt you had no other option than but to accept. But actually, you're not a normal churchgoer. Indeed, you've never really thought about the Christian faith. If so, then I would urge you to let Lydia become an example to you. Open your mind to the possibilities. Read a gospel. Join our next Alpha course. Use your mind to examine the Christian faith, and I guarantee that the Christian faith will not be found to be wanting. Because the Christian faith deals with truth, and not least with truth as it is found in Jesus. Secondly, and do relax, I've just got 3 points. Lydia had a believing heart, and so too should we. Yes, she had more than an inquiring mind. She came to have a believing heart. There came a point when she was able to say to Paul and his companions, "I am a true believer in the Lord." Now, how precisely she came to that faith, we don't know. And actually, we don't need to know. The fact is that everybody's conversion story is different. We all become Christians in different ways. Some, like Paul, have life-changing encounters with the Lord Jesus. For others, like Hannah and Poppy, it's a much more gradual process. As far as Lydia was concerned, her inquiring mind led her to faith in the Lord Jesus. As she listened, she came to believe. Luke tells us that the Lord opened her heart, but I think there was a twofold process. Because it wasn't just God opening her heart, but she allowed her heart to be opened. I'm reminded of some words of the risen Christ in Revelation 3. "Listen, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. There is a very famous picture to be found both in St. Paul's Cathedral and also Keble College, Oxford. I'm not quite sure which is the original, but it's by the Victorian artist Holman Hunt. And it depicts Jesus with a crown of thorns on his head and a lantern in one hand, and he's knocking at the door. And it's quite clear that the door hasn't been opened for some time, because weeds have been growing up outside the door, against the door. Strangely, there is no handle on the outside of the door. Jesus may be knocking, but the handle is inside. It's for the person inside to open the door. And that's a picture of faith. Jesus is standing outside at the door of the heart of each one of us, and he knocks. Many years ago, I can remember a particular Sunday evening when I heard the Lord Jesus, as it were, knocking on the door of my heart. I just had heard a sermon on the opening words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. And I realized that I need to do something about it, that somehow I wasn't in that kind of a relationship with God. And later that night, I knelt down and asked the Lord Jesus to come into my life, to be my Saviour, to be my Lord. And similarly, Lydia responded. She opened the door of her heart. She invited Jesus into her life. And again, in this respect, she offers us a role model. And thirdly, in the context of a baptismal service, it's worth saying that she had an obedient will. I have no doubt that Lydia was a strong-minded person. She was used to getting her way. She said to Paul and his friends, "Come on, you're going to stay in my home." And they had no option but to stay. She was used to being her own boss. But when it came to believing in Jesus, she was prepared to make him Lord of her life. She said, "I am a true believer in the Lord," underlined. Someone who truly believes in Jesus is someone who seeks to obey him, someone who accepts his authority over their lives. Did you know that the risen Lord Jesus, just before he ascended to heaven, said this to his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere, and make them my disciples, baptize them, and teach them." Yes, Jesus expects his followers to be baptized. And I have no doubt that Paul in his teaching made it clear that the disciple-making process included baptism. And so it was in response to the command of Jesus that Lydia was baptized, presumably in the river Ganges. Now, that must have taken some guts on her part, especially for a woman of her social standing. But she had an obedient will. She was prepared to do whatever the Lord had commanded. And similarly this morning, Hannah and Poppy are being baptized. They're being baptized not because it's the done thing in a Baptist church, but because they believe that this is what the Lord Jesus has commanded them. And here today, in the waters of this rather strange baptistry, they will be confessing their faith in the Jesus who died for them and who rose for them. So Lydia was a woman with an inquiring mind, a believing heart, an obedient will. And she presents us with a challenge. The challenge in the first place is for us to use our minds to examine the claims of the Christian faith, and not least the claim that God has come to us in Jesus, the claim that there on that cross Jesus died for us, the claim that on the third day the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. Have you looked into the claims of the Christian faith? The second challenge is to respond in faith, to use the picture language to open the door of your heart and to say to the Lord Jesus, come in, be my saviour, be my friend. Because you see, believing is more than an exercise of the mind. It is also the response of the heart. God loves you. He loved you so much that he gave his son Jesus. And the question is, have you responded to his love? And the third challenge is to submit our will to Jesus. Because a true believer is a person who has made Jesus not only their Savior, but also their Lord. If Jesus is truly our Lord, then surely, like Lydia, you'll want to be baptized. Have you taken that step? If not, why not? Let's pray. Father God, help us not to be wimps and duck out of the challenge that Lydia presents. Help us to face up to the challenge she presents. In Jesus' name, amen.